I don't think I have enough room up here. You might sit there. Look, this is a big Bible. This is the expository Bible. I love this Bible. If you ever get an opportunity to give one, it's large print, and it has the Word of God in black, and then different people have studied and give the explanation and the interpretation. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us to an interpretation.
Amen.
Also to praise God of what He wants to say. Now, how many are redeemed of the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen.
All of us. Yes. Let's go to Psalms 107.
Amen.
So let's go to verse 2.
Amen.
Let's all read that together. I'm reading out of the King James now.
Praise God.
Everyone there?
Yeah.
Amen.
Psalms 107, 2. I see where some page is turning. I'm going to wait. We're going to all read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
Freddie, can you read that in the Amplified? Could you get it in the Message?
Sure. It reads like this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered from the hand of the adversary.
Okay, just saying. Go ahead, honey.
His love never runs out. All of you set free by God, tell the world. Tell how he freed you from oppression, then rounded you up from all over the places, from the four winds, from the seven seas.
Okay. My question is to you, what are you saying? What are you speaking?
Lord Jesus.
Are you speaking damnation on you and your friends? When God is telling you to do something, are you speaking opposite of what he's saying? Are you telling somebody about the Lord, what he done for you? The Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out your mouth.
Come on.
Are you telling people about the dreams and the things God has called you to do, and they speaking negative about it, and then you still hanging around them when they don't even believe what God has for you and what's in you? Or are we speaking and keeping our mouth in line with what God says about me? What God says about how we've been redeemed? Because when we speak of redemption, he bought us back from the hand of the enemy, so that includes everything else after it.
That's right.
All the word after it is in the New Testament. Even though God ordained it in the Old Testament, but we got a new covenant now. And we need to be saying something.
That's
you
right.
You hear me?
Yeah.
David, I'm going to tell you the history of this. Now, David was looking back in the history of the Israelites. They had gone through a whole lot of setbacks. They had gone through troubles, persecutions. Anything that could happen would happen. They had been captured so many times because they wasn't living right. But God, in his mercy, they would call upon him and he would give them a victory. So David was reminding them, you better give God thanks and you better be saying something.
Mm-hmm. My. Yeah.
So my question is today, what are you saying?
Amen.
By faith, there is supernatural power in the spoken word of God.
Amen.
Yes.
We need to take inventory. Mm-hmm. When we go through some troubles and some situations, are we complaining? Are we gossiping? Or are we speaking what God says we would do? God saying how we should do it.
Come on.
Jesus.
Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Let's go there. Talking about the spoken word of God. And we know, of course, we should be living it. Because when you live it and speak it, that brings power. Do you know when you live and speak the word of God, that comes against the devil and his cohorts? We bind up the devil when we speak and live God's word.
Come on now.
Isaiah 55, don't get quiet on me now. Isaiah 55, 10, and 11. I'm going to read that. It says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the way where though I send it."
Can you read that out of the message?
"For as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descends from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their job of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the word that comes out of my mouth not come back empty-handed."
That's right. If God is speaking something, we were made in his image, we should be speaking something too. Jesus spoke something when he was in the wilderness. I'm getting a little ahead of my message here because it's down further. But Jesus spoke in the wilderness when the devil was trying to tempt him. And what happened? He left. So when the enemy comes on, when you come on the scene somewhere and you're speaking the word of God, them demons should leave.
That's right.
But you got power in your mouth. Because of the word of God. You don't have to turn here. Jeremiah 1:12 says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." So amen. Anywhere you're at where the word is speaking, God is performing something in the spirit. You might not see it in the flesh right away because God is working behind the scene, but it will be manifested in the long run because he said he hastens to perform his word. Do you know when we pray, the angels wait to perform the words that we pray? I was listening to Jensen Franklin this morning, and he said, "When we're not praying God's word, that the angels are unemployed." You need to employ them angels and be speaking God's word over your situations. Two people that need to hear it. Wherever you go, in the marketplace, on your job, but I do tell you, on your job, be wise. And sometimes it's just a limit in front of them. But whether you live or speak it, it's still God's word coming forth.
Amen.
We need to be a light in God's, in this dark world. Because we live in a hostile environment, and we need to be showing some light. Because many of them say we're dysfunctional, but they're really dysfunctional. Amen. And you know what they're saying now? The new norm. It is not normal. The devil's just trying to twist that thing around and call it the new norm.
Come on.
And a lot of them think they're functional. They're totally dysfunctional.
That's right.
In Psalms 138:2, it says, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." God even magnified his word even above his name. I remember the young people say used to say when somebody would make a statement, they would say, "Word." That means something is stabilized. Something is for sure. Yeah. And some of them even go around saying, "Word is life." And I told one guy, I said, "Do you know that's in the Bible? That God says that his word will bring life to a situation."
Come on now.
And we know Hebrews 4:12. A lot of us here are saved, so I'm going to go by what you know, but I'm going to read it. It says, "For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, Amen. Piercing him into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Come on.
The joints of the marrow, and as the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, it's alive and it's active.
Yes, yes.
It activates some stuff. Some of us got some dead stuff in us, and we need to speak to our heart and activate what God has put on us. It's almost like,
okay, I'm thinking like the beauticians. What's the stuff they put on the hair? Nothing happens until you put the activator on. When you put the activator on, things start happening. So God's word is the activator.
Yes. Come on now.
Yes. That purpose that God has in you, it will lay dormant for years until you do something to activate it.
Amen.
First, it starts with giving your life to the Lord. And then when the Holy Spirit comes in, comes and lives in your spirit, it's perfect. Says you became a new creature.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Because it's a purpose.
Yes, yes.
That you were born with. It's a incorruptible seed.
Come on now.
But see, you got to do something with your mind, will, and emotions.
Come on, come on now.
And when you start reading that word and speaking that word over situations, that activator starts doing something. Things start to come alive. Yeah. The Bible says they are life to those who find it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
God is waiting for you to speak his word so it can be activated in the earth. It will not come back empty to him. God guarantees it. God guarantees that his word will be effective. It will get the job done. We got to speak the word concerning our situations. Proverbs 18:21. We know this stuff. I am just reiterating to build you up in the spirit. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Come on now.
We got to start speaking life to people. We live in a dying world where people are so messed up, and we got to speak life to them.
Lord Jesus.
Some of us are the only Jesus there will see.
Come on now.
Jesus. You better be living something. I'm telling you something. God is holding you responsible for living his word. And I always say this. Everybody knows this. And I ask this question often. Just to get you kind of thinking and stirred up. If you were arrested for living holy, would there be enough evidence to convict you?
Come on now.
So what are you living? What you speaking? It's not just about here being nice. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God bless you, sister. It's a way of life. Not just a Sunday weekly occurrence.
Amen. Amen.
Here's an example of death and life. Say God has told you something. I'm going to use Prophetess Tracy for an example. You've been going to her school, Rivers of Light School. And it's really flourishing. It's really going well. When God gave her that seed in her mind that got to her heart to start the school, she was going to some of her leaders asking them, you know, about it. She didn't go to her pastor, it was another leader. And they totally spoke against it and said, that will never happen. I don't believe that's God's will. Now, that seed that went in her mind that could have, if she would have taken hold of that, that would have been death to what God told her to do.
That's right.
But then she went to somebody else. Somebody else came along. I'll just give you an example. And that put the word of God on it. You go forward. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Okay? Faithful is he that calleth you. He will do it. And when those words, those signs of those words got in her spirit, it activated something. It strengthened her faith. It strengthened her faith to keep going forward. The sound of God's word activates things. Just the sound. The very sound. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, let's go to that one. This is one of my favorites. Can you get that message too, please? We having the same spirit of faith. We, all of us, having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Now that's Paul saying what he did. Now us, we also believe and therefore speak. So by faith, you believe the word of God, and then you speak it over your life, speak it over your family, speak it over your circumstances, speak it down to the next generation.
Yes.
And there's been times that I prayed for people for healing, and if it was in her stomach, I got down right there in her stomach. See, I come in agreement with the word of God, and I speak to that thing right there in the stomach or the joint or whatever, and tell it you line up with the word of God, because he healed us over 2,000 years ago, and it will be manifest. I declare it will be manifesting right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Now, it might not manifest right away, right there, but it will manifest within time. That's what we have to face.
Amen.
Faith got to come on this thing. Because when we speak the word, faith, it strengthens our faith. It says, faith come by hearing, and what? Hearing the word. When you're reading, you're hearing. When you're speaking, you're hearing.
That's right. That's so true.
But we're talking about speaking the word. In Mark 11:22-23. Honey, that's 2 Corinthians 4:13. Can you read that in the message?
We're not keeping this quiet. Not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believe it, so I say it. We say what we believe, and what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you.
Yes. Say it, and we believe. Say that first. The first sentence there.
We're not keeping this quiet.
Right there, stop. We are not keeping this quiet. Somebody needs to hear you. Somebody might be trying to commit suicide, and they need to hear your voice. Somebody might be strung out, and they need to hear your voice. Somebody might be depressed, and they need to hear your voice. They need to hear you saying something. Mark 11:22, it says, and Jesus answering unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, it didn't say think it, it said say to this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Now, we know that God is not silly, so we know that we just don't want to say, I want a house right now, and I want this money right now, and it depends on God's will, because he knows we might not do right by it. But we still got to be saying something to those mountains. So I can say again, what are you saying? When you go through a situation, are you talking negative about it? Or are you talking negative about your brother and sister?
Yeah. Come on now.
Even if they are doing something wrong, Lord help them. Do you know that? And pray for them. Did you know that there's power when you pray for other people? In Job, it says the more Job prayed for his friends, he became more prosperous. Let's go to Job. Now, I don't even have this in my notes, but let's go to Job. I think it's the last chapter in Job. Let me look here. Yeah, I got chapter 42 then. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Hmm. Honey, what's the message say?
After Job had interceded for his friends, God restored his fortune and then doubled it.
Yep.
All his brothers and sisters and friends came to his house and celebrated.
You better be praying for your friends and your enemies. That's an extra bonus when you pray for your enemies. It's not just about going to God just for you all the time. There's some people we pray for and they got delivered. Do you hear me? There's power in what you say. And I always like to pray out loud, low to myself. Or sometimes I pray out loud. Me and my husband, when we pray together. You got to be speaking that word. There's power in the spoken word of God. That's what this message is about.
Amen.
I said this before, but it says the very sound of God's word strengthens our faith, shifts things in the spiritual realm or atmosphere, and brings forth things from the supernatural into the natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's all supernatural. It's all in the spirit. That God has an appointed time when it will come forth. But we still got to be speaking it. I don't care if it gets worse. I don't care if the situation gets so bad. Keep speaking the word of God over the situation.
Amen.
That's right.
Because the more we speak that word, it strengthens our faith. Speaking the word, I mentioned this, in praise comes against the enemy. In Psalms 149, 6 and 9. Now, this here is in the physical, but when we look at this, it's in the spirit. Listen to this. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. The judgment written. This honoring of all his saints, praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
That's in the spirit. When Jehoshaphat and them went out to fight, they was totally outnumbered. And the Lord said, open up your mouth and say something. Open up your mouth and say, give the praises to me. Speak my word back to me and I will deliver you. Now, we're going to speak God's word back to him that will not return void.
That's
about
right.
Our things in the spirit, the demonic things in the spirit, we're going to say to the Lord. And he will deliver us just like he did Jehoshaphat. What happened, the Bible says that the Lord allowed ambushments. That's the word, right? Ambushments. They started fighting each other. Everything got all frustrated and confused. So I believe when we pray, them demons get all frustrated and confused.
That's right.
I'm going to tell about this situation. We had a situation, I'm not going to name names, where somebody had some demonic disturbances in their home. People went to pray. I called the chaplain to see how they were doing. They said a lot of that stuff stopped. Then I called the next night. And they said that there was still some shaking. It was laying on their couch and it was some shaking. They called me. I said, anytime there's anything going on in your house, I said, I don't care what time it is, call me. If I have to come over there or we got to pray or whatever, call me. They called me. And he said that there was some shaking on the couch. Mm. And I said, put me on speakerphone. I said, put me on speakerphone.
Come on.
We bind and rebuke them demonic spirits. We just spoke the word in the atmosphere. And then we began to sing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory.
Come on.
And I prayed for rest and sleep. She said she slept the whole night. So we had tag team. We had two people to go out one time and another person to go another time. And the only thing we did was speak the word of God and them demons flee. Do you hear me?
Come on now.
We have that power in our mouth. We don't have to fear. I'm telling you, even if you feel fear in your emotions, do it anyway.
That's right.
Do it anyway. Joyce Meyer's got a little book called Do It Afraid. Because it's in you to do it. It's innate. In other words, innate means you were built and designed to do it. You were built and designed to come against the enemy. God put it in you. Put the word in your mouth. He spoke it, and we got to speak it. Because we were made in his image.
That's right.
When Jesus sent the 70 out, in I think it's Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Through who? Through thy name.
Amen.
Because the Bible says that the calling of Jesus' name, them demons will flee.
Yes.
And that's exactly what the people did when we went to the house. We just spoke the name of Jesus. And there were times the only thing we said was, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jeremiah 23:28-29 says, let him speak my word faithfully, saith the Lord. Is it not my word like as fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that will break the rocks in pieces? His word is like fire. His fire purges and purifies. A hammer breaks down things, makes down things in us, and others, and yokes of bondages, it breaks down obstacles and overcomes the negative stuff in our lives. Now, you know there's got to be some obedience behind it. I'm just speaking about the spoken word of God. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, at the last temptation, he says, I'm coming from the Message Version. It says, beat it. Satan, worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. The test was over and the devil left. He just told the devil, get on up out of here.
Yes.
That's right.
And that's all we got. Devil, get up on out of here in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus set the perfect example in the wilderness experience for us to speak for the devil to flee. But we got to be speaking something. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, if it proceeded out of God's mouth, it needs to proceed out of our mouth.
Amen.
I remember Dawn and I was in the car when they had that storm. And it looked like a little tornado was, and Chanel too, looked like a little tornado was starting. And right away, my emotion set in, and that happens. I went, oh my goodness! And my sister said, turn this way. And then she started quoting scriptures and singing, and we just started quoting scriptures and singing, and that actually shifted something down even in our emotions.
Amen. Mm.
God's word will shift something in your mind and in your heart.
Come on now.
Yes.
What's the scripture base? Hebrews 12:1 and 2. Here it says it'll transform and stabilize your emotions when you speak the word of God, when you read it and you speak it. Let's go to Romans 12, 2. If you got some things going on in your emotions, you better be renewing your mind every day. Because the devil lies to your mind daily.
Yes.
So you need to be putting some word in your mind daily.
Yes.
To line it up and bring down them strongholds.
Yes. Jesus. Oh, God.
Let me read it out of the King James and then the Message. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what helps you get to the will of God, by renewing your mind and speaking that word. Because when you read it, you're hearing it. You're hearing it in your mind. So you got to hear something. Got to hear something. God does something in the atmosphere when we hear his word. And it helps us even with the will of God. Knowing the will of God. Honey, can you read that in Romans 12, 2?
Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it.
Amen. When you speak the word, things begin to change from the inside out. That's transformation.
Yes.
Rehabilitation does not work from the inside out. It works from the outside, just what you see. But we need transformation. Because transformation is working some stuff on the inside. It's going deep. That word goes deep. The Bible says it cuts down the soul and spirit. You got to go deep because some of us got some deep issues. And we need to go to the root of the thing and get it up out of there.
Amen.
Better speak that word over your situation. When you come up here to pray, you better be speaking some word over that person. And it don't have to be word for word. Because sometimes we look at the message. And I know a long time ago, when they would pray deliverance, they would say, loose head in the name of Jesus. And we know that, man, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. As long as it means the same thing. The devil understands what you mean. As long as you put Jesus on the end of it. In the name of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, if you ain't packing Jesus, let nothing happen.
Yes.
Look at
yes.
The sons of Sceva.
Yes.
The seven sons of Sceva tried to cast out some demons.
Yes.
And they got beat up and left the house naked.
Yes. Amen. Yes. That love is so good.
You better not ever go nowhere, call yourself going to pray over somebody.
Yes.
And go and cast some demons out. And you ain't doing it in the name of Jesus. And they got Jesus on the inside.
Yes. Amen.
Peter, when he spoke in Acts 10:44, for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon him, which heard the word. He didn't have to touch them. He said, just be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's how we got to pray with people. Of course, they need to be taught. We don't have to be telling them what to say. The Holy Spirit will come down upon them. And we tell them, don't speak English. Speak. You have to speak it out. The Holy Spirit's in you. You have to speak it out.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And we just pray the word over them. Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones. And they begun to come to life. Some of us got some dead situations. We need to speak to them dry situations. Because Israel was laying in waste.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
Because of their sin. But God showed them in the spirit that they were going to be recovered. Some of us got some people that need to be in recovery. And we need to speak to that situation. Yeah. Just
That's
like
right.
the bones.
That's right.
And the bones begin to shake and come alive. So we need to preach so some shaking goes on in the spirit.
That's right.
Over our children, over our marriages, over our finances, over our situations. Things start connecting back together. Things start coming together. Because the Bible says he perfects that which concerns us.
Amen.
He told them to prophesy them bones.
Glory, God, glory.
Some of us need to be prophesying over our children.
That's right.
I don't care if it's so bad. I don't care if they're in jail. I don't care if they're sick. Whatever is going on, speak it over them. That's the promises of God. He said the word says the promises of God are yea and amen. And it's by faith. I don't care how you feel. If it looks like everything, it looks like everything is so impossible. I've seen God work in some impossible situations, but with God, all things are possible. So what are you saying? David had to speak words to himself when he was in distress. That went to fight one army. I don't remember all the names, and Ziklag and all these big names, you know. But we know that David went, and they were fighting an army. When he came back from their camp, another army had taken their children, had taken their wives and everything. And the men wanted, David's men wanted to kill him. They came against him with his mouth. How many times have people have come against us with their mouth?
Come on now.
And we're in distress. You know what David had to do? He had to go over here in a little corner and encourage himself. He had to speak some words of God to himself.
Lord Jesus.
And then he said, now what, God, what do I do? He said, go get your stuff.
Yes.
Go get your stuff. So some of us, we need to be encouraging ourselves, but sometimes we're going to be by ourselves.
Yes.
On your job, people come against you, you're by yourself. You need to go in the corner. I had to do that. And I have to do that with another believer. Because another believer said something, and I was like, Jesus. The Holy Spirit said, don't talk about him. Just go encourage yourself. Because I got mad at him. Didn't want to talk to him no more. I said, I ain't riding with him no more. I ain't going to do this, and I ain't going to do that. Well, God had another thing. I was riding with him the next day.
Lord Jesus.
Because I went in the bathroom and prayed. I said, you know, I had to pray with my emotions because I was getting mad. And I said, I will not get mad in the name of Jesus. I will not let this steal my peace. Satan, you're a liar. I speak to my emotions right now to line up with the word of God. When I came out the bathroom, she had come over to my office. We apologized, cried, and hugged, and I was right with her the next day. But I had to encourage myself, and she told me later she had to do the same thing. You see how we spoke the word of God over ourselves, and it made a change down on the inside. It matched up with the Spirit of God in us. Because the Spirit of God in us, if you have something going on with your sister, the Spirit of God in you will want you to make it right.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
So the Spirit was working, but our flesh was trying to come against it. So we had to speak to that flesh. And speak to that emotion to line up with what the Holy Spirit was saying down on the inside.
Come on now.
And we made up and was riding the next day. We didn't think about it no more.
Amen.
Our very salvation is activated by something we say.
That's right.
I'm going to say this. Our very salvation is activated by something we say. Let's go to Romans 10:9. Our very salvation. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. This glory. When the Lord gave me that revelation. Go to 10:9 and 10. It says, Thou, if you can, shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So what does salvation start with? Confession. You got to be saying something. You got to hear it to believe it. Thou, if thou shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, yeah, you shall be saved. So we got to be speaking something first, and then the belief comes. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the what? The mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You better be saying something up in here. That's why when we go to the outreach, when we do outreach, when we go to the streets or the prisons, and I tell people, when you pray with somebody, let them confess it first. They got to be saying something and hearing it to get down in their spirit for them to believe it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Glory be your name. Hallelujah.
In Hebrews 10:23, it says about professing your faith. It says, let us hold fast to the profession. We got to be professing something of our faith without wavering. If you're writing, that's Hebrews 10:23a. In Job 22:28a, the Bible talks about declaring and decreeing a thing. It says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established. When you start speaking the word of God, something gets established in the spirit. You
Amen.
Hear me?
Amen.
Something gets established in the spirit when you speak his word.
Yes.
John 3:63 says, the words that Jesus spoke to us are spirit and life.
Yes.
Woo. And we have to speak life to ourselves, others, and to the next generation. I'm going to read you. I'm going to tell you the scripture. Psalm 78, 5 to 7. You don't have to turn it if you're right. Psalm 78, 5 to 7. For he established the testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. What are you making known to your children? What are you saying? Are you doing it intentionally and purposely, or is it just haphazardly?
I speak the word to my children every now and then, you know. I'll teach them to them every now and then.
You know what? The devil is intentionally and purposely trying to take over this next generation. So we need to be, we need to turn it up.
That's right.
My sister, Deacon Hyacinth, she told us some prayer on Tuesday about a demonic monument that was resurrected. Where was it at, sis?
Detroit,
Michigan, yeah.
Something like Nebuchadnezzar's bed.
Yeah, tell me what it is.
Demonic, it was a statue with a goat head. With a goat head. Who's it?
Bahamut.
That kind of stuff. But some of the local artists, like Jay-Z's and all them, symbol and star of this big goat head. Mm-hmm. And so they erected this statue and they had a big ceremony. Yeah. They invited people, they paid like $25 to come to the ceremony where they just dedicated. It just took me back to Nebuchadnezzar.
But tell them what was under it.
In this thing, they have this statue sitting there with this big goat head, and his hand is like this, hand up with peace sign, the other hand here, and two children in front of him as though they were worshiping him.
Yes. You see that?
And they have folks in Connecticut who are in the same satanic organization. They all went up there, and they wanted to put that building in the municipal building. Yeah. Well, they have municipal building, a mediator of the Ten Commandments. They don't want any type of religious art. So sometimes when you see the Ten Commandments, it's not there, it might be a good thing, because every other religion wants their thing to be represented.
Yeah. No, you see that?
So just leave it out, but that's what they did.
Yeah. The thing that got me, what she said, is when it had its hand down, it had the children under there, in front.
The devil is trying to take over the next generation. So we got to be purposefully, intentionally teaching our children like never before.
That's right.
Come on.
And then the rest of Psalm 78, 5 and 7, it says that the generation coming might know them, even the children which should be born, even ones that ain't even born yet, who should arise and declare to them their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So, and also Psalms 145, 3 and 4 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another generation and shall declare the mighty works of God, or his mighty acts. We need to be declaring something down to the next generation. We need to be speaking something to them. We need to be saying something to them. And even when we do outreach, in Romans 10, 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh to thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, what? Which we preach. It's nigh to us, it's in our mouth, and it's in our heart.
Amen.
In conclusions, Revelation 12, 11 says, we overcome what? We know it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
That's right.
And I want to encourage you today, right now, if you have any mountains in your life that you need to remove, speak to them, just like Jesus spoke the word to the devil, and throughout all of his life, confidently by faith, take your stand on the word of God.
Amen.
Speak the word and expect its infinite power to bring forth astounding results.
Glory.
And you will have a victorious life, for there is truly power in the spoken word of God. I'm finished.
Amen. You better